And when we're going and leading through big change, big transition, transformation, it is so critical that we're communicating clearly to our direct reports, to our peers, and to our management teams so that everyone can remain clear and rowing in the same boat, in the same direction. So as you think about this skill set for yourself, I want you to ask yourself, have you made all the applicable changes impacting you and your organization? Have you made that clear to your teams and your organizations? Have you made that crystal clear so they understand the vision? And with that statement, have you also succinctly communicated expectations to your direct reports, to your peers, and even to your management? Expectations of them as you move through this change and transition.
That was Cassandra Worthy, an expert in navigating the emotions of change and the founder and CEO of We Are Change Enthusiasts, LLC. Hi, I'm Celeste Headley. Welcome to Women Amplified from the Conferences for Women. This podcast brings you conversation with brilliant minds who have practical and invaluable advice for you. Wisdom that just might help you navigate life in your career and at home. Now, before we dive in, I wanted to let you know that you are not too late to register for the first ever Massachusetts Conference for Women Virtual Career Fair, taking place on December 1st. It is a free 100% virtual event featuring companies that want to hire women just like you. If you or someone you know has had to make a difficult career move over these past months, we really hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity. Sign up today at maconferenceforwomen.org/careerfair. Also, it's not too late to register still for the virtual Massachusetts Conference for Women. That will be held on December 2nd, so please visit maconferenceforwomen.org to register. And as always, tell a friend about these free and fabulous events that are brought to you by the Conferences for Women. Now, today's episode is a replay of an extraordinary breakout session from the 2021 Texas Conference for Women featuring Cassandra Worthy, a former Fortune 100 innovation leader, chemical engineer, and the world's leading expert on change enthusiasm. In fact, she founded the global hashtag We Are Change Enthusiasts movement and has garnered more than 3.5 million online impressions and over 1.2 million video views and counting. The changes that we've had to embrace this year were monumental, and many of us felt overwhelmed. That's not surprising. Today's episode will explore strategies that just might help you leverage your decision-making skills to best champion change and find your power and resilience even during turbulent times. I'm so excited to hear what she has to say, so let's get started.
For my session, we're going to be talking about something that every single person on the planet has gotten a lot closer to over these past several months, and that is change. And I'm not only going to be talking about the chemistry, the feelings, the emotions of change, and how to harness the power of that energy to fuel your growth through change and disruption, but also the skills required to lead with exception when your teams and organizations are going through change and the emotional complexity is very high. We're going to start with a why. Why is this message relevant? Why should you care? So the reasons that I think this message is relevant is threefold. The first is no matter what industry or business you're in right now, I'm certain that you're experiencing some level of change, whether that be continuing to pivot and serving your customers and clients with excellence, or this great transition that we're all embarking upon, advancing into this new way of working, this hybrid way of working, where any given point in time, people in your organization might be working remotely or working in a physical space. Now, the second reason is a fact that I've experienced in my own personal life, as well as experienced through thousands of my clients all around the world. And that's the fact that the emotions of change are real and undeniable. Of course, emotions like anticipation and excitement, but also those tougher emotions like fear, like anxiety, like frustration, like anger. These are energetic entities that are natural to our species and cannot be denied when going through change and transition. Now, the last reason is what I feel is the most compelling for each and every one of you. And that's the fact that you have the power to control how you experience change and how you lead and influence through change. It is up to you. You know, I've had the great pleasure of working with dozens of clients all over the world over the past couple of years. Clients in the aviation industry experiencing significant contraction, rocked by the pandemic. Clients in the social media industry experiencing exponential growth with changing customer and consumer habits. And regardless of if it's contraction or growth, I have seen leaders, executives, individuals alike embrace what I'm going to be teaching in this session to reach fulfilled growth through perhaps the biggest changes in their professional careers. So let's keep it moving. Let's get into the how. And let's start with the mindset that will enable you to harness the power of emotion to fuel your growth through any change and any disruption. Well, this mindset is something that I've coined change enthusiasm, right? Change enthusiasm. So what is it, right? I'm sure many of you are looking at your screen thinking to yourself, all right, how is this different from being a change agent or a change optimist? She just put another little cute word at the end of change. There's no real meat behind it. Well, if you're thinking that, you couldn't be further from the truth, because this is actually a workable strategy. And it's a strategy that's worked through the practice of three simple steps. And those steps are the signal, the opportunity, and the choice. All right, think of it like a traffic light, the red light being the signal, the yellow light being the opportunity, and the green light being the choice, right? The signal, the opportunity, and the choice. Now, I want to unpack this by sharing a story from my own personal life and how I've put this mindset to work in my professional career. But before I do, I want to share a brief overview for each step and give you the meaning behind each. So starting with the signal, these are these really tough emotions that we often face when going through change. Emotions like fear, like anxiety, like frustration, or grief. These emotions that exist to serve us. And this first step is about acknowledging and embracing those emotions to do just that, and accepting their invitation to our greatest opportunities to grow. As soon as you can embrace those emotions as existing to serve, you can accept that invitation and you step into the second step, the opportunity. And it's here that you're exploring options and looking for ways to milk this opportunity for all that it's worth. And then comes the third step. This is where the magic happens, the choice. Through the power of choice, you can choose from those options to begin transforming that signal emotional energy into fuel, choosing the option that inspires a better feeling and ultimately a better result. You see, it's through the power of choice that we can transform that signal emotional energy into what I call growth sustaining emotions of change. It's like transforming anxiety of what's to come into anticipation of everything that you'll learn and how you'll grow. It's like transforming the emotion of fear into hope of all the good that's in store. And those are the three steps. So now I want to talk about how you apply this, right? And I want to share a story with you on how I've brought it to life in my own life. And as I do that, I want to paint the picture of change enthusiasm as the growth cycle that it is, as the practice that it is in your day-to-day. So I've had the great privilege of experiencing many multi-billion dollar acquisitions. And the second, I was a part of a company that got acquired by a multi-billion dollar entity. And shortly after the acquisition closed, senior leadership of that new company started to cut heads, right? Headcount. They were looking to reduce cost. And at this time, I was a mid-level executive. So it was a very uncertain time for myself and many of my colleagues. Now, on top of that, I was also given a new manager. Now, this manager was brought in by the acquiring company. So he didn't know me, didn't know my background, didn't know the culture that I had come from. Well, during a budget review, after being with this manager for a couple months, he was sitting in my office and he looked at me and he said, "You know, Cassandra, I like you and I want to keep you, but I'm just not seeing a lot of value in having you in my organization in a couple years." This is a true story. This man looked me in my face and told me that despite liking me, he would see no value in having me in his organization in a couple years. After he left my office, my mouth was dry. My hair was standing up in the back of my neck. I was feeling all these signal emotions, fearful, angry of not seeing the value. I was very quickly sinking into that mental downward spiral with all of these emotions. And I couldn't stop thinking that thought that the worst had just happened. I was about to lose my job. But fortunately, I'm a practicing change enthusiast, right? So in a moment of clarity, I recognized the physicality of my mouth being dry and knew that I was experiencing those signal emotions. And in that knowing, I accepted their invitation into my opportunity to grow. And sitting in that opportunity, I started to think to myself, all right, so this dude had just given me 2 years, right? 2 years with a paycheck. He's going to pay me to find a different position. And what would be in my mind, a better position. And so the options that I saw them were, I could either look for an opportunity outside of his organization, but still in that company, or look for a completely different role in a different company. And after weighing those options, I made the conscious, productive choice to begin exploring what might be possible outside of his organization, but still in that company, leveraging my network. And through the power of choice, I began to transform those signal emotions. And I started to get this sense of calm and eventually a sense of hope and anticipation of what I could get into, what I could evolve into next. And over the course of the next 4 months, I worked with leadership in a different organization in that company to create a role for myself. And it was a role that better leveraged my talents and gifts. It was a role that was in an organization that actually valued my contributions and showed great promise for advancement simply by working the strategy. Now, don't get me wrong, this wasn't all sunflowers and daisies. It wasn't all good. Throughout the course of those 4 months, I experienced many different dynamics, many different changes, and had to pivot and had to work on my influence to influence up, across, and down the organization. And each point, at each pivot, I was continued to be brought back into this first step, inspired by these signal emotions, invited to continue to work the strategy, to work this strategy time after time in the face of every signal emotion. And over those 4 months, the more that I practiced the strategy, I was building my resilience muscle. I am a firm believer that resilience is not something we're born with. It's something that has to be stretched and ripped and torn over time. And we do that through the practice of experiencing change and ultimately the practice of this mindset. So over those 4 months, I was not only building that resilience muscle, but I was creating a role that I absolutely loved. And to this day, I am so grateful to that manager for sharing that information with me. And the more that you can practice this mindset, the signal, the opportunity, and the choice, you will come to find that the really big changes never happen to you. They happen for you, to serve you, to serve your evolution, enabling you to become better, to unleash your inner rock star that I know you all have within. So hopefully that's all making sense, the signal, the opportunity, and the choice, because I want to switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk about the skills that are required when you're leading others through change, when they're experiencing their own signal emotions. So I'm a chemical engineer by trade, and I love geeking out with my audiences. So you are looking at the periodic chart of leadership elements that are so critical when leading others through change, when the emotional complexion of the organization and the teams is highly complex. And those skills are communicative, hungry, authentic, not rigid, grateful, and empathetic. So we're going to step through each one. I'm going to challenge you with some questions and then invite you to capture an action that you're committed to taking with timing to improve the skill for yourself. All right, let's dig in. Let's start with communicative and James Humes. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, James Humes was one of our most prolific U.S. presidential speechwriters. He wrote speeches for Eisenhower and George H.W. Bush. And James teaches us that the art of communication is the language of leadership. The way that you show up and speak, both verbally and non-verbally, that's how you speak your language of leadership. And when we're going and leading through big change, big transition, transformation, it is so critical that we're communicating clearly to our direct reports, to our peers, and to our management teams so that everyone can remain clear and rowing in the same boat, in the same direction. So as you think about this skill set for yourself, I want you to ask yourself, have you made all the applicable changes impacting you and your organization? Have you made that clear to your teams and your organizations? Have you made that crystal clear so they understand the vision? And with that statement, have you also succinctly communicated expectations to your direct reports, to your peers, and even to your management, expectations of them as you move through this change and transition? And then lastly, are you offering clear and timely, actionable feedback to those employees, to those individuals, to write the course, whether that be positive reinforcement or some constructive feedback when they need to write the path? So I want you to think about these questions. Think about how you're showing up your organization today and capture one action you're committed to taking to improving this skill for yourself. And of course, capture some time because I want you to commit to this.
You're listening to a replay of a breakout session from the 2021 Texas Conference for Women with founder and CEO of We Are Change Enthusiasts, LLC, Cassandra Worthy. If you enjoy this podcast, share it with others. We have 3 episodes coming every single month, and that includes our new segment, That's a Good Question, where I have the chance to problem solve with one of our listeners and help her work through a professional or personal challenge. If you're grappling with a problem, we want to help. All you have to do is fill out a submission form online at conferencesforwomen.org/podcast. And if you're selected, our producer will reach out directly and take it from there. Okay, let's get back to Cassandra.
Now, as you're doing this, I got a pop quiz for y'all. So like I said, I like to geek out. So these are actually real atomic numbers and atomic weights. So in the chat box, I want you to take a stab if you know what chemical element is atomic number 8 and atomic weight 15.99. And don't cheat. I don't want none of y'all Googling or Yahoo in their responses. Now, go ahead and put in some responses in the chat box. And for those of you who actually commented with oxygen, you're correct. Pat yourself on the back. Yes. So just as we want our air to be clear and readily available, so do we want our communication when we're leading through complex change and transition. So think about an upcoming opportunity for you to share this skill. And I want you to capture that action and the timing. All right, now let's keep rocking to hungry. And I'm not just talking about for lunch or for breakfast, okay? This is about nurturing yourself in all ways. Mr. Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett says, you're your own biggest asset. Anything you do to invest in yourself, that's the best possible investment. Now, this is coming from a multi-billionaire who will likely go down as the greatest investor in our history. That's what you need to do. Invest in yourself. When we're leading through complex, challenging change, so often we pour into our teams, we pour into our organizations, and forget to pour into ourselves. This one person that we're going to rely upon more than anyone else in our entire life, we forget to give back to that person. And it's so critical that we remember to do so. I have seen rock star leaders leave an organization because of burnout, because they continue pouring into their teams and not refilling their own tank. So as you think about this skill for yourself, I want you to ask yourself, are you searching for ways to improve? Maybe taking trainings, taking webinars. I can already tell that you're already doing that because you're in this conference, right? But are you continuing looking for ways to improve your skill sets? And next, are you taking time for you on a regular basis? Are you taking time for you on a regular basis, whether that be exercise, yoga, going for a walk, perhaps journaling, getting a latte? Are you taking time to fill your tank? And lastly, do you have something on your calendar this month to intentionally develop a skill set, whether that be fine-tuning a strength that you already have, or maybe strengthening an area that you want to strengthen, an opportunity area? So I want you to think about these questions for yourself, thinking about how you're pouring into yourself, giving back to yourself when you're leading and influencing through change, and capture that action. All right, and as you're doing that, your second pop quiz, okay? So atomic number 6, atomic weight 12.011. Now again, don't cheat, all right? Nobody cheat. Now, for those of you who are not cheating and answered carbon, you're absolutely correct. Carbon, this is the building block of life. We move from inorganic to organic chemistry with the introduction of carbon. And just as carbon builds life, when you're leading and influencing through change, you need to work on building your life, ensuring that you're giving time for yourself to rest and reflect, as well as learn and develop as you're going through change and transformation. So capture that action item for yourself, capture the timing, and then let's keep rocking. Let's keep rocking to authentic. Now, this is probably my favorite skill of all 6. For anyone who knows me, they know I gotta be me all the time, every day. So as you think about bringing your full authentic self, think about this quote from ULS Anderson. He's one of my favorite authors. And he says that it's only when we are our natural selves that it's possible for us to project the power and the mastery, which is innate in each and every one of us. Each and every one of you are in the role that you're in. You're sitting where you sit for a reason, to share your background, your experience, your personality, your energy, your flavor with the organization. And it's when we're going through challenging change that we need everybody bringing their best solutions, and their best ideas to reach change adoption and achieve the change vision as quickly as possible. So challenge yourself and ask yourself, are you allowing yourself to be vulnerable to your employees? Now, I know this might be a little provocative or counterintuitive, but I have found that vulnerability is one of the most powerful tools when leading and influencing through change, because it creates an opportunity to connect, and it allows your employees, your peers, to see your humanity and lets them know that you are bringing your authentic self. So often when we're leading through change, we want to be known as the person who has all the answers, right? And nothing phases us. But when we can share a bit of confident vulnerability that you yourself are experiencing some signal emotions, rooted in the trust that you believe in the vision and the mission of the change, you can create that connection and you'll get people behind you and following you. So ask yourself, are you allowing yourself to be a little bit vulnerable to your teams and organizations? Next, are you bringing your full self into work each and every day? Your full flavor, your style, your energy, your light. Like I said, you were hired for a reason, and that's to bring your background, your unique experience, and your perspective to your work. So make sure you're doing that each and every day. And lastly, and this is another one that might be a little counterproductive or counterintuitive, you might be wondering, why am I asking this under authentic, right? But I need to make sure that you're ensuring your words and your behaviors are congruent. Because when we're leading through change and we're saying one thing but doing another, we lose that one factor that's so important to get people on board with a change vision, and that is trust. It is so important to nurture trust when you're leading through change, and you do that by ensuring your words are congruent with your actions. So strive to make sure you have that congruence and that you're showing up your full authentic self and you are genuine towards your organization, saying consistently what you're doing. All right, so think about this for yourself. Challenge yourself a little bit. Capture that action item and your timing. And then I got your next pop quiz. All right, so this is probably the most difficult one of the whole session. If anybody guesses this, I'm gonna kind of think they might be cheating. All right, so this is atomic number 85 and atomic weight 210. Rarely does everyone ever guess this. All right, astatine. If you see somebody answer this, I guess you can still pat yourself on the back, right? Astatine. So this is the rarest element on Earth. Scientists assume there's about 30 grams all in the Earth's crust. And just as rare as astatine is, so are you. There is no one in your organization that has your personality, your background, your knowledge, your experience, and your light. So when you're going through change, share that. Come into your work shining as brightly as you can, bringing the best of yourself, your full authentic self, to everything that you do. Capture that action item for yourself, and then let's keep rocking. Let's rock to not rigid, all right? Agile. So these are two contributors of the Harvard Business Review. And they say that leadership is an improvisational art. You may be guided by an overarching vision, but what you actually do from moment to moment cannot be scripted as events unfold. You have to be agile. You have to be flexible. When we're going and leading through change, again, the vision might be set, but the execution can change, right? And Jeff Bezos is wonderful about this. Not being married to the execution, allowing that agility. So I want you to ask yourself, when you think about this skill for yourself, do you regularly stretch yourself outside of your comfort zone? I like to invite my executives to always find hobbies and skills that they're not comfortable with. Because when you do things that make you uncomfortable, you develop a muscle memory, right? So when you get in that uncomfortable space in your professional life, you remember, oh, I've been here before and I didn't die. I survived. So it becomes a level of getting comfortable and feeling those feelings of discomfort. So try to find those hobbies, those new skills, those new things to explore that make you a little bit uncomfortable that you don't have a lot of knowledge about to build that muscle memory. And then secondly, are there any biases or beliefs that I'm holding on to that may be keeping you from embracing the change? So often we have these both conscious and unconscious biases that make us have these blinders on, right? Blinders not seeing the full potential. The full potential and the best solutions. Some of you might be thinking the only way to get work done is in a physical space. But perhaps challenge your thinking with everything that we've learned over the past year and a half on the new innovation, the way that people feel more autonomous and are able to grow even further in their careers by working remotely. So how do you think about taking the best of both worlds as we advance forward in this hybrid way of working? Challenge those biases, challenge those beliefs in looking for the best solutions to reach your change missions. And then lastly, I would ask yourself, are you considering the perspectives of others as a part of your decision-making process? Now, I know there are times when you have to make quick decisions and you can't get everybody in the room to actually input on that decision process. But when you can, invite others into that process. They will feel heard and they will feel like they're a part of the change initiative. So when you can, invite the organization into that decision-making process. Think about this for yourself. Capture that action item. And then I got your next pop quiz. All right, so atomic number 33 and atomic weight 74.922. I love this one. This is one of my favorites. Arsenic, right? This is a deadly poison, a deadly poison. So if you find that you have blinders on, you're holding on to unconscious or conscious biases, you could be standing in the way of successful and efficient change adoption. So make sure that you're not becoming the arsenic in your organization. You have that level of flexibility and agility when you're leading or influencing through change. Next, let's go on to grateful, right? Gratitude. Mr. Mike Robbins, he's a friend of mine. He's a speaker. He's an author. He says that appreciation is about people. It's more about who they are than what they do. When you're leading through change and everyone is showing up and giving their best, It is so important that you shower those with appreciation, letting them know that you value who they are and what they're bringing into the office every day. So ask yourself, can you name someone who you've expressed appreciation towards recently? If I were to ask, put a name in the chat box of who you've expressed appreciation towards recently. Are you sending a note or offering some verbal appreciation to your employees, your peers, your clients, or your customers? Are you doing that at least once a week? And then lastly, are you recognizing at least one thing that you're grateful for each and every day? Peter McWilliams has said that emotion is energy in motion. Energy in motion. And gratitude is one of the highest vibrating emotions. So the more that you can rest in that high vibrating energy, you're going to show up the fullest and the brightest for your teams and your organizations. So think about this for yourself. Think about your current gratitude practice. If there's ways to improve it, think about how you're appreciating those around you. Capture that action and the timing. Then your next to last pop quiz, all right? Atomic number 79, atomic weight 196.97. For those of you who did gold, pat yourself on the back. Gold, right? When we shower people with appreciation that are working hard, that are going through these challenging changes, it makes them feel valued and it makes them shine like 18 karat gold. So make sure you're reaching out to find ways to show appreciation to your peers, direct reports, and your customers. Last but certainly not least, empathetic and the daring Brené Brown. Brené Brown teaches us that empathy is simply listening, withholding judgment, emotionally connecting, and communicating that incredibly healing message of you're not alone. When the organization is going through their signal emotions, and you can sense that tension across the organization, the most powerful thing that you can do is hold space for those individuals to feel heard, to know that they are valued. So as you're going through these changes, I want you to ask yourself, have you checked in with your direct reports to understand simply how they're handling the changes? And are you frequently checking in to see how they're managing it? I always invite my clients to put aside 5 minutes and every one-on-one agenda that's simply a change check-in. And all you're doing is asking, how are you doing? How are you managing the change? And then you're actively listening. You're listening to understand how they're managing the change. And then I would challenge you to simply ask one question. How can I support you? How can I support you as you move through this change? And of course, listen to the response and follow up to make sure you're taking that action to provide that support. But when we can provide empathy, we can share that skill of empathy. It enables people to feel valued, to feel heard, and to know they are not alone and that you were there walking with them through the change. So think about this for yourself. Capture that action item. Then your final pop quiz. Now, this is the easiest of all of them, all right? Everybody should be populating the chat box right now. Atomic number one, atomic weight 1.007. The first element on the periodic chart, hydrogen. Hydrogen, this is the raw fuel of the stars. When we can display our empathy, holding space, allowing individuals to feel heard and to feel valued, you're going to help them feel like a rock star and enable them to unleash their inner rock star when moving through change. When you hold space and allow them to be heard and support them through the change. So think about this for yourself. Capture that action item and your completion timing. Now, to wrap up, I just want to leave you with a what, right? What is it that I challenge you to do now that you've been armed with these skills, you have a personalized action plan, and you have this knowledge of the change enthusiasm mindset? Well, just as the third step of change enthusiasm goes, each and every one of you are sitting in a seat of choice. It's up to you whether you'll actually commit to those actions and actually embrace this mindset as your very own. And of course, it's my hope that each and every one of you do just that. Now, for those of you who do, here's my challenge to you. I want you to reach out to someone and I want you to do a little text message or a chat, and I want you to ask them to become your accountability partner, okay? And I want you to get on each other's calendar in the next 2 to 4 weeks, take 15 minutes and learn what was it like taking those actions. What feelings were inspired? What actions came from them? Make a new connection. Learn from somebody new, perhaps someone in a different business and a different industry. But hold yourselves accountable to actually committing to these actions. You've created these actions, and it's up to you to progress toward them. So my challenge, get yourself an accountability partner. Let's hold each other accountable moving forward.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode with change enthusiast Cassandra Worthy. To learn more about her work, join the global hashtag WeAreChangeEnthusiasts movement and visit her website at CassandraWorthy.com. Don't forget, registration is now open for the virtual Massachusetts Conference for Women on December 2nd. We have an amazing lineup of women, including Stacey Abrams, Selma Blair, Allison Felix, Regina King, Chloe Zhao, really just astounding. To see the full lineup of speakers and register, visit maconferenceforwomen.org. The Conferences for Women is the largest network of women's conferences in the nation. They draw more than 55,000 women and men to annual events in Boston, Philadelphia, Austin, and California. I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is Women Amplified from the Conferences for Women. Thank you so much for listening. Be kind and be well.